4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now Solomon, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote this book at near the end of his life. We know he wrote Song of Solomon, a beautiful picture of the bride and the bridegroom. I love reading Song of Solomon and seeing how beautiful our Savior is. I think we've bragged on him a little bit tonight, and just to tell him how beautiful he is, how precious he is. I'm not ashamed tonight to tell you Jesus is precious to me. He's the most precious thing I've got in my life. If I lost everything, if I lost my wife, if I lost my children and my family, I believe I could still say Jesus is the most precious thing that's ever happened to me. You see, Solomon then writes to his son in Proverbs, telling him to stay away. We know Solomon asked for wisdom, and he got it. He got wisdom and he got everything else, but he tried. The Bible tells us everything under the sun. And that's a bad thing. And he gained wisdom in a lot of bad ways. And he tells his son, don't go after that. And don't go after that. And don't go after that. But then he gets to Ecclesiastes and he's experienced everything in his life. And he's come to the conclusion that all is vanity. All is vain. None of it's worth a diddly. That's just old good South Carolina redneck, diddly. It wasn't worth anything. And he comes to this, and lately we've been dealing with some homeless and some things that have moved in around our church, and they've broken in and they've destroyed some things at the church, and it bothers me. And then you look on the news every day and you see the government and you see the people and you see the town and everything's going to hell, it seems like. And I was reading in my devotion in Ecclesiastes and going through this book and came across this in chapter 4. Solomon says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. You realize tonight that a lot of people are oppressed. As some have already testified, some of us used to be oppressed, used to be bound by sin. Drugs, alcohol, no matter what it was, we were oppressed and bound. Well, that's no different today. This world is oppressed. And Solomon saw it in his day. I believe it applies to ours. He said, considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and listen to this, and beheld the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, these are the ones doing the oppressing. You wonder why Washington's in such bad shape tonight? This world and our big cities and our little cities are in such a depressing mood and shape. You wonder why our schools are in such bad shape and even creeping to where our churches are getting in bad shape. I said our churches are getting in bad shape. We've let the world creep into our churches. We've let it influence how we worship. I'm glad to say tonight, I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm glad to say there's still some people that still love to shout and praise the Lord. Is he not worthy? He's worthy tonight. I said he's worthy tonight. We ought to just pour right here and shout all night long. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy tonight. He's worthy. And churches or so-called churches or used to be churches have changed trying to cater to the world and cater to these things. But can I just say to you, it's not real worship. It's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But I'm still here today to tell you they are oppressed. Even churches are living in oppression because they have no comforter. You say, what about the comforter? Well, you know what the Bible says. I love John chapter 14. They are worried and they come to Christ about you're going away. Things are going to happen. What are we going to do? And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. If you've seen me, If you believe in God, you believe also in me. He said another time, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I must go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, John 14, 26, the Father will send in my name. John 14, 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. And then he says he's going to send the Holy Ghost. You realize that the Comforter is not just the Holy Ghost, though I praise him. It's not just the Father. It's not just you. We have a thrice holy God. Thrice holy God that comforts us tonight. Solomon looked at this world. He looked at his world. We look at our world. And the reason they're in the shape they are oppressed because they have no Comforter. And the churches are oppressed. Kids are killing themselves. Teenagers are. Why? Because they have no Comforter. But can I just praise the Lord for a moment and say, I'm glad I have a Comforter. I'm glad I have the sweet Holy Ghost dwelling inside of me tonight. I'm glad I'm not sealed until the day of redemption. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. You study your Bible. You're not until gives a time frame. Until something else happens and then you're not sealed anymore. That's not what your King James Bible says. It says you're sealed unto. That means you're sealed forever and ever and ever and ever. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. You couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. I say praise his holy name. I should be in hell. I ought to be in hell. Listen, the title of my message, I'm all messed up, but I like it. The title of my message is not where would I be. I know where I'd be. I'd be in hell. But what would I be without Jesus? What would I be without Jesus tonight? I'm not much of anything. And as a matter of fact, like I said, I deserve hell right now. And if God were to recant and say, Sammy, I'm going to send you to hell, he'd still be just and right in doing so because he's God. But I'm glad that when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. When he couldn't do anything else, he swore by himself. And he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And he said, Sammy, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. I'm glad I'm safe in his arms tonight. I look at this, and it says, the oppressors are oppressed, and those that are oppressed, the reason why is because they had no comforter. But then Solomon goes on to explain some things, and this is where I get my text. What would I be without Jesus? Can I just say this and listen to this real well? We complain a lot about the world. We complain a lot about it. We preach against it. And I'm all about preaching about sin. Don't let me kill the... I'll preach on it. Whatever's in the Bible, verse by verse, I'll hit it. But what I'm trying to say, as we dealt with homeless there at our church, the cops called me the other night and they said, would you like to walk in the woods with us? And we're going down, see if any of that stuff of yours at the church is missing. And I walked down this beaten path across from our church in the woods and come across about seven or eight tents and meth needles everywhere and garbage and sleeping bags and people laid up and they had stolen some tables and got there were my tables at the church, but they were messed up with all kinds of things. This lady come out, she had needle marks all over her ankles. She was so messed up that the female cop was talking to her. I'm not trying to make fun. I'm telling you, this lady sit there and could literally not carry on a conversation. And she was messed up. The cops looked at me and said, would you like to press charges? Now, when it happened and they break in your church and they take TVs off the wall and take speakers and mess up and even, use the restroom in the hallway when we had a bathroom. Just out of spite. You get angry. You get mad. I said it. This is just my redneck way. If I could catch them, I'd beat them to death. Until you get down there and they're shaking. And they're moving. I told the cop, I broke down in tears in the woods. Said, no, I don't press charges. Let her go. That lady looked at me, the old cop. She's bigger than I was. And I mean, big old girl. And the son, she's tatted up and had her ponytail. She looked at me and she said, why in the world would you not press charges? I said, well, there but for the grace of God go I. I can buy a couple more tables. Hey, Walmart's got plenty of TVs. But I just remember where I was when Jesus passed by my way. I remember where I was when Jesus came along and picked me up out of the miry clay. I know the context of Ezekiel 16 is church, and he's talking to Israel, but I think we've sometimes forgotten just where Jesus found us. Bible says he passed by us in an open field, polluted in our own blood. That was a little baby, polluted in our own blood. He said, but the time I passed by you, it was a time of love. And I picked you up and I suppled thee and I nurtured you. There was nobody to swaddle you, nobody to care for you. But Jesus passed by your way, picked you up, nurtured you, and loved you. We better not ever forget where Jesus found us. We better never forget where Jesus found us. It's easy to complain about the world without placing ourselves in their position. Why? Because they have no comforter. But we have a comforter tonight. What would I be without Jesus? Number one, I'd be lifeless. Look at verse 2. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. You know what? If you don't have a comforter, it'd be better off, Solomon said, that you'd never been born. Because, see, if you don't have a comforter, then you're not born again. If you're not born again, you're on your way to hell. And if you go to hell, you'll spend eternity in hell. Boy, that's deep theology right there, but that's good stuff. We've made it so difficult now, but it's just, we ought to preach it straight. Hell's real, hell's hot. There's a fire burning in hell. There's a literal fire. And if you die without believing on Christ as your Savior, you'll burn in hell for eternity. That's the fact. We'd be alive. And Solomon said, I praise the dead more than the living. Why? Because they have no comforter. And we walk around daily meeting people who are lost, dying without Christ, and they have no comforter, and we ought to have some compassion. I didn't say okay their sin. I said have compassion. I like when Jesus looked over Jerusalem and the Bible said he was moved with compassion. Jesus might have eaten with sinners, but he didn't sin with them. But boy, he sure did love them, and I sure am glad he loved sinners. I'm sure I'm glad he fellowships with sinners, because I'm one of them, and I've never had a sweeter fellowship than that with Christ. We'd be lifeless without that comforter. Verse 2 and 3. Yea, better is he that both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. It'd be better off if we were never born. But I'm glad I was born. Not just born again, but I'm glad I'm alive. I'm thankful for Sammy and Ann Kay having the vision to have my son after 3 awful daughters. I'm thankful I'm alive. But see, then Jesus, I was born again. He said, I have come to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. Can I just say this? Jesus is glad you're alive too. He's glad you're born again. Aren't you glad you're born again? What a relief. When I look at the oppressors of this world and those that are oppressed, I have to just say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'd be lifeless. But number two, I'd be blessless. There's somebody in the crowd that says, blessless is not a word. It is tonight. It fits the alliteration. Verse 6, better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Can I just say this tonight? I told you I was saved. I'm glad I'm saved. But can I just say I'm blessed? They've already sang tonight, boy, I'm blessed with a good church, good parents, boy, a good home. I like the old song. I sing it all the time, but I got shoes on my feet. I got clothes on my back. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. But you realize tonight there's people all over that are blessed more than us. You know, the Bible says, or Jesus said, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Y'all realize there's a lot of people that are out in the world tonight that are blessed more than we are, but yet don't know how to thank him for it? Because they don't have a comforter. I don't know if our former president, but he's got everything he ever wants in the world, Donald Trump. I don't know if he's saved or not, but I know this. Does he know how to thank God for what he's got? I'll never be Donald Trump, but I sure am happy tonight. I sure am happy just getting around a bunch of God's people and just talking about him. I ain't got a lot of money in my pocket. If we opened my wallet tonight, y'all would say, what? Probably some of y'all. But you know what? I'm not hungry. I'm glad I got a comforter tonight so that I can know the blessings of God. I can recognize who gave me my blessings. I recognize him tonight. My dad's my boss, but he pays my check, but that's not where my blessings come from. My job is not where my blessings come from. My God is where my blessings come from. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad for my blessings. I'd be blessless tonight if I had no comforter. Aren't you glad you have a comforter? But then, thirdly, I'd be loveless. Verse 8 tells us, there is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, is he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor? Neither is I satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yes, it is sore travail. You know what's sore travail for people? To not have any family. You don't know love till you've known a mother's love. I got a mom that for the past 3 years, she's been going through a deep trial. Broke her ankle, broke her leg, broke her femur. And now recently going into the doctor to check, she's broke her hip. Been serving God faithfully for, 60 years. If you're not careful, you'll get bitter. And you'll start saying, God, why in the world would you let something like that happen to a woman that's worth? Why don't you go out? I'm glad David's in the book or I'd be in bad shape. David wanted to kill his enemies. He prayed, kill them, Lord. I like David. Job got bitter. You know, Christians get bitter. And you wonder why things like that happen. But can I just say this? God tells me at least you've got a good mama. There's some boys out in the world right now that are good Christian boys but don't have a good Christian mama. They don't have a good Christian daddy. They don't have brothers and sisters. And I'm not just talking about us, but I'm talking about the family of God. Every one of y'all are my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for y'all. But I got three sisters. I'm thankful for family. I love family. I saw that baby back there. If you ain't got a reason to shout, ain't nobody in the building got a reason to shout. I'm serious. You wait till they grow up and become teenagers and you'll come back to this and say, I wish I'd have shouted now while I could. I'm serious. Dad's here. I got three teenagers. I hate all three of them. No, I told the story at Nathan's. I'll tell it here. I'm raised different. Please don't get offended at my parenting. But I got two boys, 17 and 15. And I've just taught them all their life, if you got a problem, throw hands with each other. Just let it rip. And that'd end a lot of things. That'd calm them real quick. My wife calls me at work the other day, and she said, you need to come home. I said, why? And she said, well, they're playing basketball. Sam pushed Reed down. Now Reed's got a machete. You got to know my baby boy. He got a temper. I mean, like his mama. No, I'm just kidding. I said, put Reed on the phone. Reed got on the phone, and have you ever heard them ugly cries? If you ever have a man that has an ugly cry, better stay away from him because he might hurt you. But Reed gets on the phone. It's 15-year-old. I go kill it. He pushed. I said, Reed, put the machete down and just go play ball. I'm going to kill him. I'm thankful for that little boy. Because about two Sundays ago, after my mom fell, I watched our pastor as I'm leading. I don't know what's happening. I'm leading the choir. There behind me, my dad sits down on the front row. He doesn't sit on the platform. He sits on the front. And so I don't see it. My back's turned. But I watched my 15-year-old Reed come out of the choir. He's never moved. And I ain't going to force him to work. He never moved. But he comes walking down with tears in his face. And I look, and my dad's praying at the altar. I believe my dad was discouraged. I watched that same 15-year-old that wanted to take a machete to his brother's head put his hand on my daddy. So that I left the choir. I said, choir, y'all know the song? I'm leaving. I went down and knelt with my dad, with my sisters. But I heard my 15-year-old, I ain't never heard him pray like this. But he said, oh God, whatever the need Papa has, would you be so kind to meet it? Because I know you can answer prayer. You don't think I'm thankful for family? The world can't give you that. The world doesn't have that, and that's why they're oppressed. They don't have a comforter, but that comforter that we have was in a 15-year-old mean rattlesnake of a boy, but that same Holy Ghost was coming up, and you know what? I got comforted. Dad got comforted. Oh, everybody was weeping. Why? Because that's what the Comforter does. You can't substitute for the sweet Holy Ghost of God. He'll do what no others can. Now, I'm thankful for family. I'd be lifeless, blessless, loveless, but then I'd be friendless. I'm glad he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Look at 9 and 10, for two are better than one. Can I get amen right there? I hate being lonely. I was in the hotel last night. I talked to my wife, and then I hung up, went and got something to eat, come back, called her. She said, you don't talk to me this much when you're home. She really said that. I don't. I mean, I'm watching ESPN or a ball game, but I know she's there. But boy, when you're in a hotel by yourself, lonely, boy, it sure is good to hear her voice. Sure, it's good to hear the kids in the background. Is that daddy? Can I talk to him? Hey, I went and played. Tell you the stories. But then I'm glad for friends. Like I mentioned at the onset, I'm thankful for that man of God right there. You know who else I'm thankful for? Every one of these boys sitting on the front row. In a world where the world tells you that you are out of place, you ought to be doing this. And doing this, use your potential for something all about self. Y'all are sitting here with your Bibles in your hand. You know what? Somebody's watching you, and it ain't just us. It's God. God sees. You know what you do secretly? He's going to reward y'all openly. You know what encourages me more than anything? It's friends like that. Hallelujah. I wouldn't take anything for our heritage. That's why I'm not going to compromise it. Yeah, the comforter, that comforts me. I'm not being divisive. That comforts me that I don't even have to defend my King James Bible. I don't have to defend my salvation. I don't have to defend myself, period. You lay your hands on me, I'll show you what defense is. But hey, until one of them rattlesnakes on the internet puts their hands on me, they're just a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. I'm glad I got a comforter that lets me know if they're attacking you so much, then you're doing the right thing. My friend Joe Arthur always said this. He said, I knew something was good about Truth Missionary because every time I heard about you, they say, oh, that church. Well, if you ever go into town and they're talking about that church, you might want to go to that church. Because if they're cutting on a church, then you know it's the real thing. They done chapped somebody's hide. I like it. My teenagers love it when Cody preaches. He'll preach a, this is what Cody does when he comes to my church. He preaches them good revival, juicy sermons like a Wednesday and Thursday or a Monday and Tuesday. And then the last night, he blisters our hide. And our teenagers will ask me, is Brother Cody going to preach mean this night or this night? Because I want to bring my friends. They like it. They like it. Hey, no lie, out of all the orders I have for CDs, you've preached great messages at our church. The grace, living in grace land, throwing all that, messing up the church, all that. Y'all know, remember? But he preached, sin is like a snake. He got all over everybody. I'll still have teenagers repost it on Facebook. And they're not even living right, they'll post it. They're not even in church faithful. Why? Because that's what we need to hear. We need to hear not that truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm glad we got friends like that. Don't you ever stop preaching like that either. And lastly, I'd be lifeless, blessless, loveless, friendless. But if I didn't have a comforter, I'd be helpless. Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If somebody's going to prevail against me, they'll get me. But if I got two with me, they're going to think twice. I'm not helpless when I got the comforter. But he said, look, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I mentioned on the outset, the comforter is not just the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There's a threefold cord that I'm with, and that's not easily broken. Which is what he's basically saying, it can't be broken. I'm thankful for a thrice holy God that comforts me on my daily journey. I like what the psalmist said as I close with this. And I can say with the psalmist, Psalms 94:19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Thy comforts delight my soul. I'm glad tonight I have a comforter, aren't you? Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. It might be a good night tonight as the pianist comes to just come to the altar and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for being the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Being the comforter that's never let me down. Lord, for being, thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you, dear Lord, for saving my soul. I'll turn it over to Brother Cody after we pray. But you come as the pianist plays. Our Father, we thank you for this night, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you that we have a heavenly comforter, dear Lord, in the sweet Holy Ghost. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll give comfort, dear Lord. There may be a home that's broken right now in this place. There may be a marriage on the rocks. There may be some wayward children. There may be a lost loved one on someone's heart. Dear Lord, help us to keep coming to you because you are the great comforter. We give it all to you tonight, dear Lord. And as we turn over this service, meet every need, comfort every heart. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Brother Cody. I don't know where.